Well, howdy, 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 howdy. Blessing and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. This is episode number 119. One is the number for unity, and 19 is a number. I can't even remember what 19 means, actually. Here it comes. Here it comes. Here comes your 19th nervous breakdown. Guys, I'm so glad that you guys are here today. Hey, man, would you please be sure and like this? Would you please be sure? And if you're watching on Facebook, hit the hearts. Just start going, making hearts go up everywhere. They'll come up right over here somewhere. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure that you have subscribed. Make sure that you do all those things. Okay, look. I got some great news. Okay, we're headed to the NRB, and tomorrow's broadcast will be live from the NRB in Nashville, Tennessee, okay? So look, you want to join us tomorrow. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to throw back to last year's NRB, and I'm going to be interviewing incredible people. Let's see, Rick Renner, dun-da-da. Also Ben Hughes, dun-da-da. Also Alan DiDio, dun, da, da. Then we have Sharon Boland, dun, da, da. And then we have Tony Merkel and more. And you know what? You're about to see all of that kind of stuff. So I'm about to throw back over here and I'm going to show this to you. In the meantime, I do need you to type in where it is that you're watching from. Be sure and share this, let people know, and then be sure and join me tomorrow at this same bat time on this same bat channel, because we're going to be live from Nashville, Tennessee. All right, so let's get ready. We're going to go back in time. You're going to love this. And until the next time I see you, I call you the head, not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Watch this. Well, hello, my friends. Blessed and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Welcome, guys, to the NRB. I'm live at the NRB 2025 right here in big time Grapevine, Texas. We're at the Gaylord. And it is something. It's really something. I can't wait to tell you who I'm about to interview and who I'm about to share with you. But I'd like to ask everybody, if you would please, would you please comment? Would you please like this? Would you smash the buttons? Would you do the things? Would you tell everybody that Jesus loves them, right? Would you do that? And if you would also share this and let people know, Troy is going to be doing some crazy interviews. And I'm telling you guys, we're coming out of the chutes, swinging for the dadgum bleachers. And because my first guest that I have here today is literally one of my, I want to tell you, I'm just, when I'm around you, sir, I just can't believe this, honestly. I love you so much, Brother Rick Renner.
That's the way I feel about being with you. And I got to tell you, it's the first time I've ever had a coffee cup that said forbidden lip-wristed Christianity. That is hilarious.
Well, we don't like that. We're like, no, let's be bold. Let's be brave. Let's be the people that the Lord has called us to be.
Well, that's who you are.
Amen. And so are you, my friend.
Well, thank you. I'm so proud of what you and Leanna have done with rescuing kids and raising kids. And my wife and I are so impressed with you all. And when we were at your church, I said, Denise, I love this. There's such faith. It's just wonderful. Thank you, Troy.
Thank you. Well, you know what? The Lord has just been so good to us because we were a tiny little church for 16 years.
Well, you're not tiny anymore.
And, well, he's expanded our footprint. And a lot of it has been people like you who already have gone before us. And I'm not just saying that. And then all of a sudden you just embrace us. And I just, you know what? You being friends with me has just meant the world to me. I remember the first time you text me, I was out at Redemption Ranch. I was out there. And you sent me a text. And I was driving across the ranch, and I nearly wrecked. I couldn't believe it. And then you did a show with me. You actually FaceTimed me, and you were in Russia. And I was like, what in the world are you reaching out to me for? I couldn't believe it. So it's meant the world to me.
Well, you're doing a great work, and I got to know you through my friend Joseph Z. Mm. And I'm so glad that Joseph made that connection.
Me too. I love Joseph. He's a really good connector.
He is. Joseph is my good friend. We talk every day.
Yeah. I think I talk to him just about every day. I sure do. He's also a really good dad. He's a really good husband.
He is.
And that's a big deal to me, you know.
Yes.
And I'm like, you know, when people ask me, like you, hey, what's Rick really like? I'm like, he's a really good dad and he's a really good husband.
Well, that reveals a lot about somebody.
It does. It reveals a whole bunch. I know your kids, and I know your family a little bit.
Actually, my son Philip came and spent time with some of your leaders.
Did.
He loved it.
Hey, can I ask you guys to bring this up just a little bit? Would you ask them to bring Rick's microphone up just a little bit? Yeah, so you guys treated me like a king. So we, all of our leaders got up. We all went up to Oklahoma. And your son literally walked us around from room to room to room.
Joel.
And thank you. And spent the entire day with us and acted like he had known us for forever, shared everything with us. It was actually remarkable.
Well, I want to say I think you're very gifted. When I watch you, and by the way, Troy, I'm watching you all the time. When you are in front of the camera, you are so comfortable.
Oh.
It's like you were made for this medium, and I like it so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And there's not another Troy Brewer.
No, there's not.
You're definitely in your own niche, and you are really shining there.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, I got to talk to you about these books. And
okay.
We're going to land on Easter and the rest of the story.
Okay.
And I specifically want to talk to you about the young man that had his clothes ripped off of him.
Okay.
What in the world is that all about?
Okay.
But I got to tell you this. When I saw this, I was like, yay, because James and Jude have meant so much to me through the years. Now, they're probably, and it's okay if you don't agree with any of this, but I'm just going to tell you what I've always said. I've always said the two meanest books in the New Testament were written by the half-brothers of Jesus himself, James and Jude.
Well, they're pretty direct books.
They are direct, aren't they? And I love the book of James. It's like the put-up or shut-up book, right? And it's like, hey, I love the book of James.
You know, Martin Luther wanted to cut it out of the Bible.
I know that. I'm very aware of that. And so you tell me what you know about that.
About Martin Luther?
Yeah.
Well, he was against salvation by works.
Mm.
And so when he read the book of James, which says faith without works is dead, kind of flew in the face of what he wanted to promote. But the book of James is wonderful.
It is wonderful.
But I want to say, when you read it in the Greek, you kind of wish that James had just written a little bit more. He is so abrupt in the way that he writes. And so when you interpret the book of James, you got to really figure out a few places. What is he really saying here? But I really put a lot of work into that. And that's just volume one. There's going to be 18 volumes of the RIV.
Oh, my gosh.
So 1st and 2nd Peter's almost ready. And then the next is going to be 1st John, 2nd John, 3rd John. Then I'm going to go to 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. I'm going to do the whole New Testament.
Okay, well, when I dive in, whenever I first got saved and I became a Bible thumper, I joined this Christian rock band and I took off touring with these guys.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was 19 years old and we toured all over the place. We played in a band called Destiny. And I was a front man, I sang, and I also played guitar in this band. And then I got signed by Word Records. I went from Word to Myrrh and I wrote songs.
Did you really?
I did, and I did all that.
I don't think Word even exists anymore, or Myrrh.
Well, it was an amazing time. It was an incredible time, and I got to do a lot of things. Literally, after I got married, I walked away from all of it because I couldn't. I was on the road one time for about 9 months, and I was only home in a period of 9 months, just a few weeks, and I was newly married, and I was like, you know what? I love Leanna so much. There's just no way I can do this. And I'm so glad I did, because we immediately started the food bank. We did that in 1990, and then everything kind of left from there, and it was awesome. But
well, God gave you a treasure when he gave you Leanna.
Oh, he did. I promise you. Yesterday was our anniversary. It was our 36th.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. How long have you been married?
44 years this year.
44.
Boy. It gets better and better and better.
It does. It does, doesn't it?
It does.
Oh, I'm so grateful for our wives. I'm so grateful. I always say that Leanna is the most selfless person I've ever known.
Well, that would be a good description of Denise.
I mean, how can you describe a woman better? If, you know, just like, my goodness. I don't know if you know this or not, but Leanna just 4 weeks ago, she had surgery. She gave away her kidney.
Really?
Yeah.
Somebody that needed a kidney transplant?
Yes, and she gave
no,
her kidney
No, I did not
away.
Know that.
That was 4 weeks ago.
I haven't seen her here. Is she here?
She lasts about half a day, and then she goes back to the hotel.
Okay.
So, yeah, she lasts about half a day. But she's doing great. She's healing up very, very, very well. She was the perfect match for actually her oldest brother. And it was a big dream come true. And
we were looking and looking and looking for a living donor, and then boom, it fell on Leanna. She ended up being a perfect match. Wow. And so we were like, praise God. And so she's done great. But
well, that's being a real giver.
Yeah, exactly. Now I'm a giver, but we're going to start throwing kidneys around. That's a whole other level. And so I'm like, wow. But she is the single most selfless person. She is so wonderful. And I don't know. I don't know what I would have ever done without her. But I left all that. And what I was going to say was those guys in that band that I got connected with, they were the perfect guys for me to hang around with. They were prophetic. They loved the Word of God. They loved Jesus. They studied the Bible. And they were hard rock and rollers. I mean, they were excellent musicians. But they were in that Word. And I was like, I don't know how to fire this thing off. It was like a weapon to me, and I was brand new in the Lord. And I started off with the book of John, and I went from John to Jude. And I was like, wow. I found out, so I thought that Jude was like the norm of the rest of the Bible. I didn't realize that Jude had things in it that nobody else had in it, you know, that there was not any of the other works. I didn't understand how edgy the book of Jude was, but because I started off with Jude. And so I started asking all these questions. Hey, well, when was this fight over the body of Moses, and what was that all about?
He's the only one that talks about it.
Zechariah.
You know, most people skip over the book of Jude because it's small, so they think it's not important.
It's a stick of dynamite. It's powerful.
It is powerful.
So tell me your favorite parts of Jude, and tell me what you discovered once you started translating it.
Well, I love the whole book of Jude. I mean, Jude is straight. He was dealing with a fight for the faith. And so he begins in verse 3 by saying, hey, I previously planned to write an epistle about our salvation.
That's right.
But then I heard news that there were false teachers trying to mingle their way around us, so I need to address this issue. And do you know why he heard it? Because he got Peter's letter.
Ah.
And when he read the second epistle of Peter, it so stirred him that he scrapped his plans and he decided to address the same issue. That's why we have the book of Jude. So now we know the early apostles were reading each other's material. Isn't that interesting?
But
you know, the real treasure in the RIV, of course, the RIV is an interpretive version of the New Testament. But for me, the real treasure is the footnotes, because the footnotes are just loaded, 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 loaded with exposition. And anybody who loves the New Testament, they are just going to go nuts when they get hold of the RIV. And I'm so thankful that people are really ordering the RIV. And that's just volume number one. There's going to be 18 volumes.
I'm going to get every single one of them, brother.
I'll make sure you get them.
I'm going to get every single one of them. And I'm going to steal a bunch of your stuff.
Please,
I'm just going to be very
all.
Honest with you, sir.
Well, we all steal from each other.
I'm telling you. So what is your favorite, out of the things that stand out of the book of Jude, once you started doing your interpretation of it, what's one of your favorite things that jumped out at you that you went, wow?
Well, there's a verse in there about wandering stars.
For whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever.
You got it. You know who those wandering stars are?
Tell me.
They're stars. Stars give light. Oh. He's talking about people who once preached the word correctly, but they begin to wander. They moved out of orbit.
Yes.
And Troy, one thing I like about you is, you know, when I get close to people, I watch to see who are they in orbit with and do they stay in orbit.
So good.
But when there is a wandering star, that's a preacher, that's somebody anointed, but they get out of orbit and they tend to keep going further and further and further out of orbit until finally they get off completely. And that verse kind of shook me up because kind of messed with my doctrine. But James says there really are stars that get so far out of orbit, they're going to be reserved to the darkness forever and ever. That verse really, really hit me strong.
I think that this is a huge time where the Lord is trying to teach the church to reconsecrate themselves over and over and over, to get rededicated and consecrate ourselves. One of the things that I see in the trajectory of people that spin off is what will happen is their anointing will increase, their talent will increase, but they do not reconsecrate themselves.
That's correct.
And like over and over and over again, there comes times of consecration so that the Lord may bestow a blessing upon you.
But you know, the Lord deals with them. The Lord is faithful. And when you read what Peter said, It says they deny the Lord. And the word Lord there that is used is not the normal word for the Lord. It's the word for a CEO. So those that are in the administrative branch of the church, when they begin to get off Jesus, who is their CEO, he tries to bring them correction. And they have a choice. They can listen or they can deny the Lord and just continue in what they're doing. And that's when they get off. When the Lord speaks to us, we have to respond. And that's the consecration that you're talking about. And, you know, if you belong to the Lord, he's going to correct you.
Yeah,
we all have to be corrected, and it doesn't have to be severe. It may be a minor course correction,
yes.
But all of us have to be corrected from time to time.
Of course.
And if we will not let the Lord speak a word of correction to us, then we're just going to continue to spin further out there.
I want to talk to you about this. If we can just stay on this path, because I feel the Lord in this, and this is so important. In dealing with kids all over the world, some of the language that we've come up with, Brother Rick, is rebellion is not the same as weakness. And what I've learned this from the Lord.
Say that again.
Rebellion is not the same as weakness.
Okay.
When the Lord comes to me and when he's like, Troy, this, if I come to him as a child and say, Father, I have this weakness, he is so willing to deal with me on that and so willing to be patient with me and to help me. But if I choose rebellion and I say, you're just going to have to live with it, God, this is me and this is what I do and this is how it goes, he will show up eventually and he will deal with my rebellion.
He will.
And so that correction that we have, that correction that we have from the Lord, we're either going to deal with him as a father and we are his child, which is how we always have to approach the Father. To the world, we are warriors, but to the Lord, we are his children. Right on. Or we're going to harbor something until eventually, boom, it gets spun off.
But you know, God is never in a rush to judge. And I love that about God.
Me too.
When you see Jesus in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, he has feet that are like unto fine bronze.
Come on.
Bronze is really heavy.
Yes, it is.
Well, if your feet are made out of brass or bronze, you're not moving very fast. Mm. You're taking one slow step at a time. And bronze in Scripture represents judgment.
That's right.
Well, Jesus was coming to the seven churches, five of which really needed judgment. But Jesus wasn't rushing to judge. He was moving
so
very
good.
Slowly in their direction with the hope they would correct before he would show up with a severe judgment. And I'm so glad that Jesus is not in a rush to judge, or we would all be in trouble. He gives us time, or he gives us space to repent. And I'm so thankful for that.
We have about 4 minutes left here, Brother Rick. And I want to tell you, I love this.
Thank you.
This is sitting beside my bed.
Thank you, Troy.
And I read a little bit of it every single night.
Well, thank you.
I'm actually taking it with me to Ireland tomorrow.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So
where are you going to go in Ireland?
I'm going to be in Belfast. I'm doing a conference out there. And some people that are plugged up to ODX and are plugged into our ministry. And so I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, I speak the blessing of God on your trip.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
I certainly do.
Sir, how can everybody find your books, and where can they find all this?
They can just go to renner.org, or my books are on Amazon. You know, I've written about 60 books.
Have you really?
My dream is
to
write a small book. I've never written a small book, but that's my dream. But there's a lot of material out there. And I've got a new book coming out called The Rapture, the Antichrist, the Tribulation, and What's Next.
Wowzers.
You're going to love it.
I will love that.
And you've got a new book.
I do.
Numbers, the Prophecy.
I do, yes, sir.
I read it, and I wrote an endorsement for it.
You did, and I'm so grateful for that.
It's a great book, and the cover is marvelous.
Yeah, the cover is. That's Alan DeDio's boy, Evan, did that.
I'm telling you, that is a great book cover. I just saw it yesterday.
Yeah, it was the best-looking book I've ever had, and that was Evan DeDio actually did
Troy,
that.
Troy, before our time's up, I just want to say to you, and I want to say to your viewers, Troy and Leanna are the real deal. And when you go to their ministry, you see who they're touching, you see their heart, they are really the real deal. And if you're looking for a place to support with your finances, this is a good place. And what they're doing is so life-impacting. It's changing the lives of children, and not just children, all kinds of people around the world. And I give you my personal endorsement for Troy and for Leanna and for everything that they're doing. They are wonderful people, and I just wanted to say that to you.
Brother Rick Renner, it is a great privilege to have you with me, sir.
Thank you.
I will be in prayer for you. You be in prayer for me.
I will. I'm going to pray for your trip.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, I will do a lot of praying on that airplane, so I promise you I will lift you up. I like to take my journal, and I like to just pray, and I actually like to write their name and journal around them, and I spend hours and hours and hours doing that while I'm on a plane.
When I usually write a chapter to a new book.
Okay. I believe you do that. One of these days, let's you and I get together. I want to talk to you about the process, your process of writing books.
I would love to.
I would love to have that discussion.
Sure, let's do that.
Friends, I'm talking to my good friend, Rick Renner, who I love with all my heart. Please support his ministry. Please go to Renner and get all of his things, including this. This is the one I'm into right now. And this book, again, it sits beside my bed. I read on it every single night because I love the book of James. I love the book of Jude. But I love his interpretation of the word. And then, man, his study notes, powerful.
And
they're actually expository, and it's so good.
Thank you.
That is good. I can't wait to see the whole volume of this.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Friends, I'm going to go to a commercial right here, and I'm going to show you how you and I partner together to rescue kids. Watch this.
Up to 8 million children disappear every single year. And most of them are victims of an underground industry generating over $150 billion every single year. The government and the media, they seem powerless to be able to solve this epidemic of human trafficking, but you can make a great big difference. Troy Brewer Ministries is a ministry that's dedicated to making a difference one child at a time. And in the past 30 years, we have delivered 11,000 children from this living nightmare of sexual trafficking. And with your help, we can come to rescue thousands and thousands more. At Troy Brewer Ministries, we're not just rescuing and raising kids, but we are actually training nations to do the same. And friends, we work with foreign government agencies to identify and rescue children who are in desperate need of our help. Now, with 51 children's homes across all the globe, we actually provide food and clothing and shelter and the love and the truth of Jesus to every single child. Will you rise to this challenge? And would you please link arms with us? As we follow Jesus in carrying out this mission, this is his mission. Simply call 877-413-0888 in order to get started, or you can simply visit us at troybrewer.com for more information.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We're here at the NRB in Big Time Grapevine, Texas. Oh, let me put my tea down. They just brought me some Chicken Express tea, which is so sweet it'll crack a tooth. Anyway, guys, that interview I just had with Rick Renner was awesome. And, man, I love Rick. And he just prayed for me right after, too. I started bawling. My Oahu started leaking, as we like to say. Friends, don't forget to make a comment. Like, share. Don't forget to call the number on the screen, 877-413-0888. We can pray with you. You can partner with us if you want information of what we're doing or how we're doing it. And then I'd like to say all my friends in Belfast, Ireland, I'm going to be with you tomorrow night in Belfast, Ireland. Going to be there. So we're hopping on a plane tomorrow. We're going to be there. I've got a big conference to do. And going to be there. We're doing 4 days of conference, and I can't wait to see. I've had so many Irish friends that I've never been to Ireland before. So we're all going to get together. We're going to hug each other's neck, and it's going to be amazing. Now, sitting directly across from me is my good buddy, Ben Hughes. What's going on, Ben?
G'day, Troy. I'm doing really good. How you doing?
I'm fine as frog hair, man.
Yeah. Fine as frog hair. I like to say it's going off like a frog in a sock.
Okay, there you go. That's the same thing, man. So I bless you, buddy. What do you think about this NRB madness?
It's amazing. It's great just to see what the Lord's doing. I like to think very missional about everything and just seeing the nations being touched for Jesus and the gospel going out. You know, I've been involved in media myself since I was 18 years old. That's 30 years. I started off on the radio. I spent about 20 years on Christian radio, and I started off all the way back then. I would ride my 10-speed bicycle for an hour in the Auckland traffic to go and do traffic and weather on the Christian radio station in New Zealand way back then. And I've always just been amazed by the opportunity with media to reach so many at such a little cost, you know, to be broadcasting the gospel, to be reaching people that might never walk into a church, that might never, you know, even encounter somebody on the street. But I love the very missional aspect of what God's doing.
When I was a little boy, I was just a freak about radio.
Hmm.
And so I would listen to radio, listen to every station. I was like, when I grow up, I'm going to be a DJ. I want to be a DJ.
Right.
And then I decided in my middle school years, I'm going to be a weatherman. That's what I'm going to do. And I started studying all the weathermen, started studying them all. And then I actually went down to A&M, and I went to weather school, and I found out that you could go for free if you joined the local fire department. So when I was 16 years old, I joined the local fire department, became a volunteer fireman, and then they paid for me to go, and they sent me down to A&M, and I got to spend the summer down there going to weather school because I was just fascinated with, again, how many people you could reach and the impact that you'd make.
Yeah.
But then, man, when I got saved when I was 19 years old, I never imagined the things that the Lord would allow guys yeah. like you and I to do and the impact yeah. that we can make, even just with our own phones.
Incredible. Yeah, the weak things of the world, the foolish things. Mm. I say that myself all the time. I was just a kid who grew up on the wrong side of town, getting the snot beat out of me every day. I had no friends, and yet the Lord saved me. And now, because of this, we literally reach millions of people. You know, we got a testimony recently. We have a show on Sid Roth's network that goes out globally twice a week. He has an amazing satellite network that plays through the Middle East. And,
yes, he does.
We play every week at 5:30 p.m. after the Golden Girls on a Saturday afternoon.
Oh, it's so cool.
And so, you know, we recently, we got a testimony from a pastor in Malaysia. And we did an episode about breaking off intimidation. You know, we just prayed on air, this was a recording, it wasn't even live. We broke off intimidation and fear. And we got an email and saying, you know, I was watching your show and all of a sudden, I felt a demonic spirit rise up in me. I screamed, it came out of me. My wife came running in and she said, what's going on? And she said, I was completely delivered from decades of fear and intimidation.
Wow.
My whole congregation says that I'm different. You know, everything's changed. And I was thinking, wow, like the power of being able to reach people across the airwaves to the nations that even just 20, 50 years ago was unimagined, you know. What we can do right now, like you say, from our phone. You know, my in-laws were, my wife's parents were missionaries in India for 20 years. And they were hardcore missionaries, hardcore. And, you know, they used to spend about a good chunk of their budget spending $10 a minute to phone back to Australia, you know, to talk to the family and things like that. And on one of my recent trips, you know, I was streaming live on the back of a motorcycle from my phone for free.
Yeah.
Here I am. I'm on the other side of the world and just, you know, here's what God's doing. And yeah, so it's an opportunity that needs to be really capitalized for the sake of the gospel. And I think it's really important that people maintain that focus as well, that we have this ability, we have this power to broadcast the gospel, to reach people for Jesus, not for my fame, not for my clicks, not for my likes, not for my speaking engagements, but there's people listening that may never hear the gospel any other way, may never hear there's a real God who loves them, you know? So I think it's really powerful. And that's what I love to see when I'm walking about.
You know, one of the, a very good friend of mine, Alan DiDio, he has literally just went, I'm going to teach every pastor in every church on how to reach the world for Jesus through media. And him and his son got together and they just started training, but they started doing these massive conferences and all this. I can tell you that Alan's church, for years and years and years, up until last year, they were in a town of less than 200 people and just on YouTube had over 450,000 people
yeah.
and were registering millions and millions and millions of views every single month. And him just getting up there and doing 5-minute sermons on this, on that, on this, on that, on this, on that. There's never been a day like that.
Amazing, amazing. Yeah. So the gospel is being preached.
The gospel is going out. And dude, and you're so good at it, by the way. And you're so good at praying. Whenever you start praying, heaven shows up.
Oh, he's good. He's so good.
I love to listen to you pray. I love to listen to your beautiful wife pray.
Oh, yeah.
And I love how you guys just go after it, you know. So when did that become evident, you know, that you guys had a ministry that you could pray into people's lives just like that testimony, man? You rebuked a spirit of intimidation. Boom, a pastor was set free. When did that become evident that was part of your thing?
So, you know, actually this week on March 4th, which I love the date, actually March 4th is the day that my wife and I met, and we've been in full-time ministry for 30 years, this March 4th, next week.
Wow.
But about 15 years ago, we had been on staff at mega churches. We spent 5 years at a mega church. We'd been as part of small churches. We got to the point where we just knew that there was something more. There was more. And we spent 5 months. This is the answer to your question. We spent 5 months really pressing into the Lord. And I mean, we prayed 4 to 8 hours every day. I was working at a Christian radio station at the time for 1 year. I was doing the morning show. In the evenings, we would just get after and get after and say, just Jesus, there's got to be more. We know there's more. And we just were so hungry, Troy. At the end of that season, we literally, this is going to blow and stretch the mind of some people, but good. We woke up in the middle of the night with an angel standing on our bed. Now, I had never seen an angel. I wasn't the kind of person that saw an angel at the 7-Eleven every day. I just woke up and there's a honking big angel standing on our bed, and I screamed like a little girl, and I screamed, and my wife is screaming. We both are having this encounter together. The Lord spoke very clearly. I want you to start a ministry, call it Pour It Out Ministries. It was from Zechariah chapter 4, the golden oil flowing down the pipes from the olive trees to the lampstand, keeping the fire burning, the lampstand being the church, and that oil keeping the fire burning in the church. Overnight, our lives changed. A new level of impartation, a new level of anointing hit us. And the Lord opened doors for us. We started traveling all around the world overnight. We had a 6-month, our calendar was booked out for 6 months ahead. People who never knew about us. And we just began to travel and pursue the Lord like never before, both for revival and the harvest. And that's what we are really passionate about, is the marriage of those two. You know, that to see the church on fire for Jesus and then getting up off the carpet and going and telling everybody what you just experienced. You know, so we do that all the time. Our team was out just yesterday on the streets here in Grapevine. This is our town. We live here in Grapevine. And so right on Main Street, Grapevine yesterday, we're out on the streets. And so that pursuit, though, of Jesus, that hunger for him, you know, if you want the oil, it's going to cost you. But that's where it came from. We had that encounter. We had that experience with him, and we continue to pursue him.
Your journey's been a crazy journey, hasn't it?
Yeah. Really crazy.
Yeah, so was mine. Yeah. But, I mean, I know a little bit about your journey, and, man, your journey's just been crazy. And recently, it's continued in its craziness. You moved from Arizona and came out here to Texas, and you've been here for what?
Just over a year, yeah.
Just over a year now.
Yeah.
So how is that? What are you doing?
Well, so we planted a church, so it's only, I think, 10 months old. But, you know, one of the reasons we did that, the Lord, because people started attaching themselves to us and wanting to be with us and be a part of what we do. And
yep.
We do a lot of discipleship. We have a lot of interns. We have a house full of people. We have 6 to 8 people living with us all the time. You know, so we're doing life with each other. And so we build a church. We planted a church to have a community around what the Lord was doing. And so we're doing that. That's fun. I like to tell people that church planting is like the first 10 minutes of Saving Private Ryan. It's like full on. So you're trying to take the beachhead and there's bullets
tough.
But you're just getting after it,
it's,
you know.
Tough.
So, yeah. But we also, we're continuing to travel across the states and to the nations. This year we've got quite a number of mission trips, evangelistic trips. We're about to do a big revival fest in Australia in a few weeks' time. I just came back from a nation that we can't talk about. Just a couple of weeks ago, it was incredible, completely closed nation. But, you know, I saw about 50 decisions for Jesus just in a few days, little kind of village churches. We saw all kinds of miracles, Troy. I saw a blind eye open in front of me. You know, we've seen that before, but this one, let me tell you about this. So it was a very village type situation, and you know what these things are like. And
Where was you at again? Where was it?
Well, I can't say. I can't say where it was, but you can probably work it out. It was a country not far from Miami, but you know, and so I've been asked to not talk about it. But here we were, and I'd given an altar call. All these people had gotten saved. And this one man was sitting there, and he's kind of like, "I need prayer." You know, this kind of like,
yep.
"Go on, give it a shot." And he told me his eye is completely blind. And so, of course, with Tesla, his eye is not like, he's not seeing shadows, 100% blind. So I prayed, do what I do, in the name of Jesus, command your eye. I'm like, what's happening? Can you see anything? He's like, nah. Pray again. Anything happening? Nah. Third time. Anything happening? Nah. I'm like, oh, shocker. So one more time. I prayed again on the fourth time, Troy. All of a sudden, boom, his eye opened. His blind eye all of a sudden opened. His reaction was like, oh my gosh, I can see. And it was maybe about 60, 70%. So all of a sudden everything changed, of course. We prayed a couple more times, 100% vision.
Oh my gosh.
But it was the fourth time. And that's what contending for miracles is all about.
Yes,
you know, you actually need to contend. And once something breaks open like that, you see it begin to pop through the room because faith comes in and it's like, wow, yeah, okay, God is moving. He's doing miracles. Who else needs a miracle, you know? And all of a sudden that faith hits. So to me, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And just making sure that Jesus gets his reward.
Mm. We just have just 4 minutes left here and I want you to pray. I know that there's people that need a miracle. And for everybody that's watching, if you just recently tuned in, hey, we're here at the NRB. I'm here with my good friend, Pastor Ben Hughes. What's the name of your church, brother?
Pour It Out.
Pour It Out. It is Pour It Out. And you can see it at pouredout.org. And this guy actually does see signs, miracles, and wonders everywhere he goes. And, I mean, he does contend for it. And, man, will you contend for us? Will you pray for us? Will you pray for everybody that's watching?
Yeah. Absolutely. Have we got a camera? Is that?
Yep.
Can I look at that?
You can.
Father, I just thank you that you love my friend so much. You love them so much, Jesus.
Jesus.
And I just ask right now that you'd release your healing power. I release your healing power as your son. And I just command healing into your body. I thank you, Lord, that by your stripes, Jesus, they were healed. You were healed. I bind and rebuke every spirit of infirmity, all disease, all pain. I tell you to go, and I just say, healing, come right now. But more than anything, God, let them experience your tangible, manifest love in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. I want to pray for you real quick. Can I do that?
I would love that.
Father God, sir, I want to lift up my friend Ben. I lift up his beautiful bride, Jody. I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, that today would be a day of breakthrough for them. I pray, God, that you do great and mighty things, God, within their life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, sir, that today is a day that they mark on the calendar and say, that was the day that this prayer was answered. That was the day that this breakthrough happened for us. I thank you, Lord God, sir, for their powerful ministry, the influence that they have throughout the world. And I pray, Lord God Almighty, sir, that you would bear every burden, that you'd meet every need, that you'd fight every battle. I pray, Lord God Almighty, sir, speaking into that and pressing into that angelic visitation, God, that they once had, I pray, God, that this would be a time of encounter for them. Jesus, bless them. Mm. Bless them financially. Help them, Lord God. I pray, God, for their church. I pray, Lord God Almighty, sir, for their ministry, for their family. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, sir, for all the fruit that it has borne. And I pray, Lord God Almighty, sir, that you would do even greater things. And I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Yes,
Lord. Amen, amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Hey, Ben, I love you, buddy.
I love you, too.
And I am your friend. I am your friend, man.
Wow.
It's great to see you, man.
I consider that a great honor. It's great to see you, too. Thanks for having me on.
It is a great honor to have you with me. Amen. Thank you so much. Guys, I want to encourage you guys, go to Ben. No, it's not Ben Hughes. It is actually Pour It Out.
Pour It Out.
Pouritout.org. Pouritout.org. Check out their ministry. And if you're ever in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, come up to the north part of that and come and visit their church, man. I encourage you guys to do that. Now, I'm going to go to one of our rescue stories. And this is a story of one of my favorite little girls. Her name is Naomi. I'll join you again with Alan DiDio right after this. Boom.
So when we first rescued Naomi, she's just a 15-year-old hobbit.
She has been a slave since she was 11 years old. She saw and she witnessed the murder of her father right in front of her. They came into her home, burned her house down, murdered her father, and sent her mama off into sexual slavery one direction, and sent her as an 11-year-old off into sexual slavery into another direction. And because she's about to have a baby and they didn't want to have to take care of the baby, the cartel had let her out and just said, swim the river. She was pulled out of the Rio Grande, trying to cross the river, literally 9 months pregnant. She was drowning. She couldn't swim. She's so pregnant, she could not swim. So we had her, and I looked that little girl in the eye, and I told her, I said, today's a different day for you. You hit the jackpot on being rescued at a time where I'm actually visiting one of our rescue homes. I said, I'm your Papa Troy, and I'm going to take care of you. I'm so sorry that you saw what happened to your daddy. I'm so sorry for what's happened to you over the past 4 years. But things are very different. You're going to have this baby. We're going to pay for you to go to a nice clinic. And so I told Suwanami, look, this one's mine. I want to take care of her. I want her to have special treatment. She's come out of something really, really, really bad. She said, okay. Suwanami called down a few days later. And to our horror, we found out that, yes, she had had the baby. Everything was fine. But a different government agency had come in and separated the baby from her because they weren't convinced that she could take care of her baby. Well, she couldn't outside of us. My heart was so broken because I promised that little girl nothing bad was going to happen. And something bad did happen. So then we had to find her. And then we had to find her baby. Suwanami is so awesome. She actually found the girl, found the baby, and got the little girl reunited with her baby. I didn't think I was ever going to see her again because she lives 18 hours away from the border now. And she rode on a bus 18 hours, a 15-year-old child with a 3-month-old baby, 18 hours on a bus. And we're like, you ain't doing that anymore. And so we're changing all that. When that little girl walked in holding that baby, I couldn't believe it. It was crazy cool.
Well, welcome back, my friends, here at the NRB in Big Time Grapevine, Texas, at the Gaylord Hotel. Wowzers! I just got through with an interview, as you saw at the beginning of this broadcast, with my good friend, Brother Rick Renner. Wow, just love him. Golly, I love him so much. And then from there, man, we went to my other good friend. The guy's name is Ben Hughes. And Ben and I have traveled together. We've done ministry together. We've cried together. We laughed together. He's been out at the ranch a couple of times. Amazing man of God. We've done a bunch of work together on God TV as well. And that's actually where I met him at, was at God TV, and I was out in Florida. I went, hey, man, we got to be friends. And here he is now. But now...
Your best friend.
My best... my best friend. I want to tell you, Alan DiDio is here with me today, and he brought a brand new book, and he actually brought a promo that goes with it. Watch this.
I've been watching this debate for decades, and I can't stay silent any longer. You have been lied to about the rapture, and I'm taking the cover off. After 25 years of research and study, I'm going to be exposing the lies, the myths, and the misrepresentations, because they told you the rapture was a fantasy. They said it was a recent invention with no biblical foundation. Others told you that before anything bad happens, you'll magically escape. Well, guess what? They all lied to you about the rapture, and in my latest book, we're going to dig deep into scripture, history, and Bible prophecy to show you the truth and why it matters now more than ever. The rapture isn't an escape plan. It's a wake-up call. Order your copy today and discover the hope of his soon return, because hope is worth defending.
Well, he's sweeping the country like a brand new broom, and he actually brought it with him, guys. Pastor Alan DiDio is here, sir.
There it is. Can you believe it?
It's here.
25 years in the making.
25 years.
I've been watching this debate for 25 years like you have, kind of in awe of the criticism that's come against the rapture. And I just said, you know what? Enough is enough. Let's give a full-throated response. And that's what
that
this
sounds
is.
Like you.
Yeah.
That sounds a lot like
you. One of the great generals of the faith said, this book is a must-read for anyone serious about the end times. You know who said that?
Who?
That was you. He wrote an endorsement right here in this book. It's right there.
Well, I can't remember. I pulled that off of Google somewhere.
Yeah, that was AI, yeah.
Man, honestly, I was so happy that you did this because, look, I've been holding on. I'm a pre-trib rapture guy. I have been holding on to the rapture and holding on and holding on. And I actually even called with, I called Jimmy Evans one day, and I asked him, I said, are you sure we're not crazy? Because every credible person I know has left. They have just left. And I'm like, I'm holding on. And like, would you and I just spend time talking about it? And dude, by the time I hung up the phone, I went, man, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
This is the word of God. So tell me about this. Tell me about what you say that the lies are. Tell me what you say what the myths are. Let's talk it out.
Well, Jimmy Evans wrote one of the forewords to this book.
Okay.
Perry Stone wrote the other foreword to this book. How that happened, I have no idea.
That's amazing.
But I think we needed a new response to the criticisms for this generation. And so I certainly answer all of the critics, the post-tribbers. Is there a secret rapture? Are there two second comings? What about the last Trump? Is the earth going to get better or worse? All that stuff. But I actually wrote it to address the lies in our own camp, where people have just kind of checked out and saying, you know what? It's just all going to hell in a handbasket. Let's just bury our head in the sand and let's just. And so the world thinks, and even in Christians who despise the rapture, they think that's what rapture people believe,
yeah,
that we can just bury our head in the sand and disengage.
Yeah.
But that's not been my experience.
Yeah, my rapture either,
people, you're a rapture believer.
I am a rapture believer.
Why do you rescue so many people
exactly
from human trafficking?
Right.
Because.
You got it, buddy.
So, Jesus is coming back.
He is coming back. He's coming back soon. And not only do we have to believe that Jesus is coming back, but we are instructed that we have to believe that he's coming back at a time that we do not know, that it's imminent.
Yes.
It's not just a glorious return. It's the imminent and the glorious return.
There's something about imminence. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 24, it is a wicked servant that says in his heart, my master delays his coming. So there's
right.
something wicked about believing Jesus will delay. Wickedness enters in when we don't think he could come at any moment.
Look out.
So it's no wonder why the enemy has fought against this for so long. And so I do my best, you know, sarcasm is my love language.
Oh,
so
yeah,
there's
too.
A little bit of that sprinkled in throughout the book. But I want to bring people together because this generation needs to fall in love with the return of Jesus again. That's why I wrote the book. I want this generation to fall in love with the rapture of the church. And they're not going to do that through our bickering and arguing, but they will do it with a good defense, scripturally, of what the Bible says about imminence.
All right, so give me some of the defense. Let's talk about it. Let's go.
Well, there's very few things discussed in the New Testament more than the second coming of Jesus. In fact, the second coming of Jesus is the most talked about event in the entirety of the Bible.
Gosh.
More detail is given to the day of the Lord than any other instant. And again and again and again, I give you 21 examples in the New Testament where Jesus says, you better watch any minute, any minute. Every New Testament writer says, any minute, you got to watch for him, any minute. And the Apostle Peter says, in the last days, there will rise scoffers.
That's right.
Saying, all right, everybody's been saying this. Everybody said Jesus is coming. And what makes you think you're special? Well, you're one of the reasons why I think we're special.
Yep.
Because you're right. Everybody said Jesus is coming except you. Every generation has said Jesus is coming until you.
Wow.
And we've seen this dramatic shift in the church, which is interesting.
That's so good.
It could be part of the great falling away. But in the culture, this is a recent survey by Pew. 42% of Americans believe Jesus could return in their lifetime. 14% of agnostics and 9% of atheists believe that they could be living in the last days. So this is the subject for the hour, and I think this is the book for the hour.
Okay, let's talk about some types and some shadows as well.
Can I
do that? Because not only do you have it, look, the Bible says this, boom.
Yes.
But then it also says this in how the Bible is written and in certain words. And so, and in ways, like one of my favorites is that, and I just can't tell you how much I love this, that whenever the Lord invited Noah and said, enter into the ark, it was the Lord himself that closed the door.
Yeah.
And that
supernaturally.
That is very much illustrative of the rapture of the church.
And for how long was he closed in there before the rain?
Seven days.
And the church is going to get closed up in the ark of Christ.
That's right.
For 7 years.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And everybody says, well, look at Noah. He rode out the storm. No, Noah didn't ride out the storm. Everybody else was trying to ride out the storm.
Yeah.
He was supernaturally sealed in.
That's so good.
But we often forget that Noah's grandpappy, his name was Enoch. And if the Lord wouldn't have taken him He might have been alive for that.
Yep.
And there was a man, as the storm clouds of tribulation were looming over the horizon, there was a man walking with God, and God said, I got to get him out of here before that happens. And there's a whole chapter in this book on Enoch's lost prophecy.
Oh.
Now, you know, you're the numbers guy. He was 69 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible said when he began to follow the Lord, when he began to walk with God, he had birth to a child, gave birth to a child, and began to walk with God. Well, what happened at that moment? What was the name of the child that he gave birth to?
Methuselah.
Methuselah, which means when he dies, judgment comes.
Yes, sir.
Now, can you imagine? I think it was A.W. Pink who wrote about this in detail. Imagine having a child that's named when he dies, judgment comes. Every fever that he has, you're like, oh, is this the moment?
Wow.
Every time he trips, is this the moment? So what happened in Enoch's life? He gave birth to imminence.
Oh.
And that birthing of imminence changed his walk. Come on. This is Enoch's lost prophecy. You know, we can dig into the book of Enoch and all that stuff is great, but we often forget what's right there in front of us. The very first prophecy Enoch had was Methuselah, and it was a prophecy of imminence that at any moment, and that changed his walk to the point that he walked so closely with God, at one moment God said, you know what? We're closer to my house than we are to yours. Let's just go on to mine.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on.
My goodness. And then a brother, this is really cool to me, too. But the brother was 360 years old.
Yes.
When the Lord literally raptured him. He was with God.
Yeah.
And he was not. I love it when something is not, by the way.
That's what we should call the rapture from now on, when the was not.
The was not. When the was not actually happens. So whenever this happens, he's 360 years old. 360 is full circle.
Yeah.
360 is also the number of days on a Hebrew calendar.
The lunar calendar.
It's like the full calendar, right? It's like calendar. Like, man, I love that. And he also left a child as a calendar.
Yes.
That whenever Methuselah died, boom, here comes the flood. That's just, he's such a calendar guy. The timing of the Lord. Oh, gosh, I just love that.
And we're at that moment now where the calendar's been uncovered.
Yes.
For the first time, everybody is talking about the Hebrew calendar, and all these revelations are coming out. They've been there all along.
Yes.
But ministries like you are uncovering these for the first time, fulfilling what Daniel said, that there would be an explosion of knowledge. And that's not just technological knowledge.
That's right.
That's prophetic knowledge that we're witnessing right now, which is just a sign that Jesus is coming.
So what are you hoping that people get out of that book, Alan?
I want them to fall in love. I want them to fall in love. I was reading it on the plane over here, and I was in tears in the plane when I consider I'm about to see Jesus. We're going to see him face to face. And when we see him,
we'll be like him.
We will be like him. There's a great transformation coming, and it's exciting. We're about to receive our glorified bodies. A great getting up morning. And we've forgotten about that preaching. You know, we used to sing about it. We used to have hymns about it.
Exactly.
And it encouraged the church. But we've forgotten about that. Now we're all about, you know, building our empire here.
Yeah.
And we need to occupy. And part of that is answering that. We must occupy until he comes. And what that means. But my goodness, come on, y'all. We're about to see Jesus. And that's exciting.
You know, there's a lot of... I remember when my youngest daughter, Rhema, when she was around 8 years old or 9 years old, we were talking one night, and I went by just to pray for her, and she was already in bed. And she said, Daddy, I'm scared. I said, what are you scared of? And she said, I'm scared that Jesus is going to come back. And I went, oh, little girl, we're going to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sit down, and I started having this discussion with all my kids about the imminent return. And that was actually really scary for them because we haven't processed imminence. We haven't processed, okay, this could happen at any moment. And since, in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, we shall change, that whole thing of, man, well, we're going to be interrupted, and it's just going to be, you know, we always think of an interruption as something terrible.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you this. The Lord gave me language, and I started telling them, our priorities will change. And so fast, it will happen so quickly. A second that we know that we're going to be able to, that we're actually going to be with Jesus. As soon as we hear that trumpet blow, every earthly care and burden we have ever had, we won't even be able it's gone. It's over. And we are changed in every way that a person can be changed. And that also includes our priority. And man, when I think about that, like I've never known anybody that has had a near-death experience that says as soon as they died and they saw their family, that they wanted to be back with their family. They're out.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm gone.
Yeah.
I'm out. What do you think about that?
No one I've spoken with who's had a near-death experience wanted to come back.
Yep.
Wanted to come back.
Me too.
There's nothing you're going to miss out on
nothing.
By leaving this earth, because all these things are just pale in comparison to what Jesus is about to do. But understanding this is key. You know, several years ago, I for the first time, I bought a car for my wife. Me and my daughter went out and we bought this car, and we were getting it ready for her to come home and see it, getting a bow on it, getting the garage cleaned up. And we were doing our work as best we could, but then we got a phone call from my wife, Tara, who said, "I'll be home any minute." And it was like you hit the fast forward button. And we were running around that place trying to get everything just right, not because we were scared.
Yes.
Not because we were fearful, because we were excited to see her. And that's what the rapture is supposed to do. It's supposed to hit the fast forward button. It's the 2-minute warning. When people see the finish line, they don't slow down. They speed up. And that's what it's supposed to do for us. And I pray that's what this foot does for us.
That's what it does for me. Man, I've lived my entire Christian walk with my foot on the pedal. As fast as I could, as much as I could, because I know that Jesus is coming back soon.
Yeah.
And it sure doesn't put you to sleep when you believe in the rapture of the church.
And you don't have to be scared.
Yeah,
it's not a complicated issue. I break it down for you. I've got Evan helped design like 12 new charts. We've got a glossary in the back of the book of end time terms, so you can go in and look at, if you hear a word you don't understand, you can get it. I just want you to fall in love with the return of Jesus.
Friends, I'm talking with my good friend, Pastor Alan DeDio of Encounter Church. Wow, Encounter Charlotte. I was just there recently.
Man, what a time.
Oh, my gosh, it was amazing, man. It was so much fun.
Our people love you, by the way.
Man, I love your people. I love your church. I truly do. And we had this huge testimony of this lady that was healed of deafness.
Yes. Someone I've known for 16 years. I know her. I know her entire family goes to the church. We've known about this condition. The following Sunday, she brought in a doctor's report showing she was deaf in one ear, and now she can hear completely out of that ear.
Yeah, and she was like, she wasn't even a candidate for like a cochlear implant.
No.
And I heard her say that she looked into, can I get a cochlear implant? Can I do something like that? And she wasn't even, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, right.
Oh, no way.
You know what, man? Miss Shea is saying that we actually have the video.
That's awesome.
I'll tell you what, guys, let's watch this video and then we'll talk about it afterwards.
14 years. Now, I've known you for how long? 16 years. That's your brother. That's your sister-in-law. Your son and daughter are somewhere around here. Your parents are here. Mama's right there. Is it true? 14 years. And then we had a service where Troy Brewer was in the house. And it didn't have anything to do with Troy Brewer, because he didn't even know what was going on. You were here taking pictures, and he just walked over there to you, and what happened?
He started talking to me, and he said, "I see joy all over you." Didn't pray for my ears. He just started speaking a word of joy all over my life. And he said, "God sees your commitment to joy, and he's going to give you a new joy, one that you can share with others." But he was talking to me in this ear where I couldn't hear. I was completely deaf in this ear. And no hearing aids or cochlear implants would work for this, because there's a hole in my cochlea. And he's just over here talking, and I hear every word he's saying as all this is going on.
And God healed her ears. Come on, I dare you to celebrate that miracle and let God inhabit that praise and create another miracle. Come on.
Come on, somebody.
He's still in the miracle-working business,
he's
right?
Doing miracles.
Yeah.
I promise you. And I didn't even know that there was a miracle taking place. Just God Almighty gave me a word to give her. And that's why, friends, we got to obey the Lord.
Yeah.
Because the Lord told me, go and tell her that he's going to give her a new joy, and it's a joy she can share with everybody. Just a simple word. Just a simple word. And I thought, I was like, no, I got to go do that. And so I went over there. I had no idea I was speaking into a deaf ear and that it was opening. And she can hear. I mean, she can actually really hear.
And she turned to you and said, "I can hear you."
Yeah, and she said that. And I was like, yeah, well, that's good. You know, I had no idea she was deaf. I had no idea. She's healed.
And she's still healed. Yeah.
Man, I was just talking to Ben Hughes. He was with somebody recently
in another nation, in a communist nation, and there was a guy that was completely blind in one of his eyes. And they talked to him for a long time. He's like, no, I'm completely 2,000% blind. He's like, just give it a shot and pray for me and just see what happens. They prayed for him, and they texted him, hey, man, can you see? I said, no. I said, just like that. Okay, they pray. And they're contending for this thing, right?
Yeah.
No. So fourth time, the guy went, stop. And he's just looking around. He's like, I'm seeing. Said, within a certain amount of time, he had about 60% sight, and by the end of the day, 100%. He's 100% healed.
Wow.
I think a lot of times we don't see miracles because we just don't go after them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right. But I think America is primed to start going after
them. Yes, brother.
Something has shifted in the atmosphere. We're in the midst of a reformation right now. We got to get on it.
The witchcraft of woke is broke.
Yeah, come on.
And supernatural, and the supernatural things of the kingdom and the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, this is prime time for all those things.
You got that Lou Engle anointing going on.
I actually do that.
Interviewing people all day, you got to get that Lou Engle anointing.
My grandkids do that as well. My grandkids just sit around and we all just got to do this. So I got a little bit of Lou in me. Amen. Golly, I love Lou Engle.
I do too.
Gosh do too. Almighty.
What a general.
What a general. What an amazing general. Well, Pastor Allen, how do people find your book? What do they do?
Well, they can go to rapturebook.com.
Yep.
Rapturebook.com or encountertoday.com, but rapturebook.com. You'll get 25% off if you go that way.
You got your own website for it?
What else are we going to do?
Rapturebook.com.
This is the work I've been writing this for 25 years.
Yeah, dude, it's truly a masterpiece.
It needs its own website. Yeah.
You know what? Now that you've done that, I'm like, hey, I'm going to be on an airplane tomorrow. I'm going to Ireland. And I'm gonna reread that.
Come on,
I'm going to.
What are you doing in Ireland?
I'm doing some kind of conference out there.
They invited you out there?
They did. They don't know me apparently. Exactly, Pastor Allen.
I bless you,
and I love you, and I praise God for you, my friend.
Thank you,
guys. Listen, that's my good friend, Brother Allen DeDio. Be sure and go to Encounter Today and check out all of his stuff. Your YouTube channel. How do they find you?
Encounter Today. Yeah,
Encounter Today is your YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. How many subscribers or followers do you have there?
On YouTube alone, we have over 500,000, half 500, a million.
500,000.
Yeah.
That is remarkable.
God's been good.
Well, you know what? I follow all your stuff. I see it all the time, and I love it so much. Guys, I cannot recommend my good friend enough. And friends, after I get back from showing you another rescue story of one of my favorite little girls on the planet Earth, I'm going to be sitting here with Brother Tony Merkel of the Confessionals. Oh, my.
Come on.
Guys, watch this. One of the first times that I went to India, children were literally just sleeping on the ground next to the quote-unquote orphanage that we were supporting. These kids have not had a bath maybe ever in their whole life. Leanna just starts picking up every single one of these kids and taking them to our room. Well, there was one little girl in particular, her name's Shravani, and Shravani was this beautiful little girl, and she was mesmerized with me. And as the years went by, she began to request, can I carry your Bible? Can I go with you as you go and you preach to all these places? I was like, absolutely. Well, she didn't speak a lick of English for years and years and years, but she could say Papa, she could say Daddy, and she could say Shopping. And every time I was there, she'd say, Daddy, shopping. I'm like, okay, man, let's go shopping. She grew up, and I saw her grow up. Well, whenever she got out of school, she said, I want to be a stewardess. So we sent her to Stewardess Academy. But in order to go to Stewardess Academy, she actually had to learn how to speak English very well first. She got done with that. She graduated. She's a stewardess. And then Leanna and I was in Kathmandu, and we were in Nepal, and we were up there rescuing kids. And she contacted me, and she said, I can come to see you. She flew up there, and I hadn't seen her in like 4 years previous to this. And I was going through the crowd, and I'm looking for her and looking for her. I find her. We hug. She sees Leanna. She hugs her. We get in the car, and it's the first time we ever had a conversation because it's the first time she ever spoke English. And I want to tell you, that was a life-changing trip for me. And she's like, Dad, I have got to tell you things. I've never got to tell you about when I was 6 years old, you did this for me, and you did that. And me and Leanna just sit in the van, just bawling, as she spoke in English. And she said, I've always wanted to tell you this. So a few years back, she contacted me. She said, Papa, how old must I be before I am to be married? And I'm like, it sounds like you've got somebody in mind. Well, in India, you have to arrange their marriages. And it's a huge shame for them if they don't have a daddy to arrange a marriage. So she told me, yes, there's one, and his name is John Mark. And I was like, John Mark? And I said, yes. I've known John Mark since he's a little boy because we also raised him. Well, here she is, a bride, and just look at how beautiful she is. And now she's got a little boy. She named her little boy after my oldest son, Ben. She's redeemed in every way that a girl can be redeemed. That's what we want to see, and that's what we strive for with all of the thousands of kids that we're actually raising.
Well, that's one of my favorite stories ever. Shravani, India. That little girl, she's way into her 20s now. We rescued her when she was a little girl. And now to see her be a mama and to see all that is just incredible. I talk to her all the time. And she had a little boy. She and her husband, who we also raised him as well, Brother John Mark. And then her little boy, they actually named Ben John. So they named after Benjamin Allen Brewer. And after their daddy, John, they call him Ben John. And I'm like, that's a great name, man. That's cool. Well, hey, listen, that's why you support us. That's why you stand with us. That's why you partner with us. And because you and I are just not going to sit around and just hope this thing goes away. Nope, man, we're going to kick its teeth in. I hate trafficking. Hey, guys, call the number on the screen. Call 877-413-0888. And those are friends of mine in Burleson that actually answer the phone. If you need a friend or if you need prayer, call the number. Now, it's about to get weird.
Yes, it is.
They're like, having Alan on was awesome. Having Rick Renner on was awesome. Having Ben Hughes on was awesome. All those things are great. But to have Tony Merkel on here from the Confessionals, Tony, I want to welcome you, my friend.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I can't believe we're sitting here together.
I can't either. I can't believe you talk about me like that.
I do. No, I love you. I love you, man. And that's listen to your stuff. So I know that a lot of people that's plugged into me will know who you are. I also know that there's a lot of people that are watching that won't know. And so you're going to have to help me. How in the world? Number one, you have a paranormal broadcast. Do you call it a paranormal broadcast?
In recent years, I've been transitioning to a supernatural because when I first started the podcast 8 years ago, it was
eight years ago.
Yeah, it was a much different show.
Oh, you're a groundbreaker.
God is, because I was a truck driver. I was driving my tractor trailer through Philadelphia, and the Holy Spirit spoke. I wasn't even praying. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you're going to be a podcaster, and you're going to work alongside a guy named Wes Germer from Sasquatch Chronicles. I listened to that podcast, but I never talked to him before. And so I was in the habit of, when the Holy Spirit would speak to me, I would go home and I would tell my wife what the Lord said, because she needs to be my witness, because when the Lord speaks to me, it happens.
Awesome.
And so about a month goes by, I back my tractor trailer into the dock at work, and I get a Facebook phone call on my phone at 8:30 at night from this guy named Wes Germer. And he's talking to me for about 45 minutes. And he said, you know, I think you'd be a good podcaster. And I was like, here we go. And the rest is history. So God broke the ground. I didn't break anything.
How long have you been saved? When did you get saved?
I was raised in the church. And most of my life I spent having my parents as spiritual crutches. And so I never truly had a groundbreaking experience with the Lord until March 29, 2014. I was rebounding in my marriage. I had just come off a really bad season in my life where I was, me and my marriage almost ended, and it's my fault. And so all I cared about that time in my life was to love God. This is before that. All my concern was is to make a lot of money and love my wife. And I was trying to become a nicer person, because I had guys who were truck drivers for 30 years telling me that I was a really mean person. And they were like, dude, you're mean. And I was in my 20s, and I was like, I don't want to be a mean guy. And so I was trying to be nice. And but I didn't want to do it with God. It didn't cross my mind. March 29th, 2014, I was supposed to be at a wedding, my friend's wedding. That same day was a funeral. My wife's uncle had a funeral. And I was going to go to the wedding, and she was going to go to the funeral, but she didn't like that idea. So I went to the funeral with her. I didn't want to be in a church where it's emotional and things like that. I didn't want anything to do with the emotional side of church. Well, her other uncle's a Baptist pastor, and during that service, he stood up and started preaching the gospel, and my face got red. The blood pressure started rising. I was angry. I was like, why are you talking about the salvation right now? This is a funeral. I was so angry. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit, for the first time in my life, I've ever had this experience. It was like God singled me out in the entire universe and said to me, you don't need a change to come to me. Just come to me and I'll change you. And it took everything in me that day to not just break down at a funeral crying. And I get in the car to leave, and my wife, she's propped up against the door on the passenger side, just staring at me. And she's like, are you okay? And I was like, I'm good. I just didn't know what happened to me. I got wrecked. And that started a transformation, because all I wanted to do was go home after work and read my Bible. I started driving my tractor trailer 12, 14 hours a day, just listening to sermons and just trying to understand my maker. I had this like strong hunger for that. And that just progressed into a whole chapter of my life of just pursuing the Lord. So to answer your question, in 2014 is when I truly yielded my life to the Lord, and nobody can talk me off of it. I don't care what you say.
Come on, man.
You know? So, yeah.
Well, so it wasn't very long after that that you actually started the Confessionals.
Yeah. It was March 19th, 2017, first episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so you got on a fast track once you got right with the Lord.
Yeah.
Right on. So when you first started off, you were talking... So you were like, it was basically like a Bigfoot show,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you were talking about these people that had seen, they had these sightings and these encounters,
yeah.
And this craziness. And then what happened? What happened to your show? I mean, what happened?
It was a progression. So when I started this, all I had as a direction was God said, do it. That's it. That's all I had.
Wait a minute. You're telling me God told you to start a podcast about Bigfoot?
God told me I was going to start a podcast and I was going to work alongside a guy named Wes Germer who was doing Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And I was into that topic at the time. I had a Facebook group, and I think that's how he found me.
Yep.
And so I was like, I guess this is where we're going with it, but I didn't know. And Wes told me, he said, if I were you, I would do more than just Bigfoot. He said, that's one of the things that I regret is I called my show Sasquatch Chronicles. I can't do anything outside of that topic.
Wow.
And so I was like, okay, I'll do more than that. And so I started, my second episode was a UFO. The third one was the Hat Man. The fourth one was Nephilim. And so I started do it right from the beginning, doing different things. And so as the show progressed, though, I started hearing people's experiences that they went through. And, you know, they're not all Christians. In fact, a lot of them weren't Christians in the beginning.
Right.
And they're sharing their experience with me from their worldview, their perspective, and I believe they've had these experiences. I just don't agree with how they view it all the time.
Right.
And so they're sharing these things, and I'm picking these things up, and I'm thinking to myself, if that's true, if what they experienced true, how does that fit in with my theological perspective, which forced me to start expanding my mindset on things and looking at the Bible and trying to understand how this all fits together in a way that I never had anybody teach me before. And I started finding people like Dr. Michael Heiser, who recently passed away.
Oh, yeah. No, I love Michael Heiser.
And I started, my mind started being molded and changing. And then as I picked up more people's stories and they're adding new elements of, it's like a puzzle piece, I started realizing how complex the supernatural realm is. And I started realizing that this is way more than just people's experiences. And I started understanding that, yes, we talk to people about their experiences, but we also, it's a podcast where it's documenting my journey of discovery and understanding when it comes to how complex the supernatural realm is, what's going on, and how we interact with that.
Okay, so I'm gonna tell you this. Never said this publicly, but Jerry Sellers is here. He's right here. My son, Benjamin Allen Brewer, is here. And I'm going to tell you, we were in Chiapas, Mexico, and on a mountain, we saw a giant.
Really?
I'm talking about a big one. I'm not talking about a 9-footer or 10-footer. I'm talking about mid-20s. Not for a glimpse, not a second. For about 25 minutes, I stared at it. It did not rattle my faith one bit.
No.
Because I already know how to process all this. In fact, I actually was like, all these people were praying for me. We were on this prayer mountain, and this thing came up over the ridge, and it was the next ridge over. This known for having giants in the area. There's big giant footprints everywhere in the rock down there and all this craziness. Even at the hotel, there was a big giant footprint. They had this rock that has a giant human footprint in it. And it also has the largest Mayan ruins on the planet Earth is there, and it's privately owned. And we went to it. The guy that owns it It's the largest Mayan pyramid on the entire planet Earth. It's all right there.
Jeez.
And, yeah, we went out there, which I got to tell you all about that and the craziness that happens there. But I was, we went to this prayer mountain, all these pastors were meeting with me. We all got there. They were all praying for me. So all this, like 40 pastors, and they're all praying, and they're all speaking in Spanish. I can see Jerry, and I can see my son Ben. They were all standing there minding their own business. And they're all praying, and I see on the next, there's a big valley, and there's a ridge in front of me, and I see this thing come up over the ridge and stand next to this tree, and as the tree sways, it sways exactly however the tree's, and it like mimics it. And I'm just sitting there, man, and I'm just looking at this thing, and I'm like, wow, I saw it come up. I actually saw it come up, and it's staring us down from the next mountain over, and it's staring. I can tell how big it is because of that tree, and it's no joke. I mean, yeah. this is no joke. And we're just sitting there, and I told Ben, I said, Ben, while they're praying for me, I'm like, yes, Lord, because they're all praying for me. I'm like, Ben, like, what? He's like, yeah, and he's praying too. I was like, there's a giant on that hill over there. He's like, where? I'm like, right over there. We're praying, yes, Lord. Ben turns around, he goes, oh, my, like King Jesus. I'm like, I know.
Wow.
And when Ben turned around and looked at it, the tree moved, and it froze. And so it knew. It knew what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to tell you this. I started talking to it, and I was talking like this level. Now, there's no way anything can actually hear me. That, you know, thing is, you know, a quarter mile away.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I see you, you devil, and there's nothing you can do about this. We're here. We're not going away. We're rescuing kids. We're doing everything that Jesus wants us to do, and there's not a thing in the world that you can do about it.
Wow.
You can either move or you can go to hell. And I'm talking in this voice. And then it started doing this. And I told Jerry, I said, Jerry, I want you to softly turn around. He said, why? And I said, because there is something, a giant on the top of that hill. And I've been looking at it for 20, 30 minutes. And Jerry turned around and went, oh, my gosh. And, man, when he did that thing, kind of stood up like this and just turned around and like in just a couple of strides.
Unbelievable.
The guys just kept right on praying. Power of God's moving. Holy Spirit's moving. All kinds of craziness. And they're just like, so I asked them, we're on this prayer mountain. And I said, you guys ever have like crazy things show up? And the pastor's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you ever had like giants in this region like that? He goes, yeah. He goes, there's one that lives on that mountain right over there. That was the mountain that I actually saw it on.
Wow.
And I was like, well, again, did not rock my faith
in
any way whatsoever. It caused me to rethink some things, caused me to go, oh. But see, this is my, and I'll quit
it's
talking.
It's supporting evidence.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
That's what you need to look at it as.
As it was in the days of Noah, man.
Yes.
And there it is. We're living in the days of Noah.
Yeah.
And we're rescuing children there because so many kids are being trafficked and so many kids are actually disappearing.
Wow.
And it is craziness. And so the kids all have stories about it. The kids have a story and all the witchcraft that goes with all that kind of stuff. Well, dude, I kept coming across that, and I couldn't deny it anymore. And it would be the same stories in Uganda as it was in Mexico, and the same stories in Guatemala, and the same stories down in South America, same stories in India, the ritualization, the mess that they'd gone through, and how things manifest and what would manifest around them was, yeah, those kids are not lying.
Yeah.
And as Michael Heiser used to say, if just one of them is telling the truth, then it busts the entire paradigm.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah. So, no, you asked Jerry. Hey, Jerry,
yes, sir.
Did we see a giant in Mexico?
Yes, sir.
Okay, there it is.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so, no, man, and once you start to see this thing, you can't unsee it.
Yeah.
And so my question is not if there's, when someone says, hey, you know, do you believe in aliens? Do you think that there's aliens? Do you think that there's giants? Do you think, my question is it of God's camp or not?
Right.
We'll figure out the rest of it.
Yep.
I just want to know, is that God's camp or is it not?
Yeah. Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, there's a whole big disclosure movement going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And people have to really start considering what's actually happening. Because one, people who I'll call the normies, they don't have any paradigm to fit this in. So that's all new to them. They don't think about UFOs. They don't think about aliens. And all of a sudden, their government's saying, here, there's real things happening here. But the interesting thing about this is, and I've been telling this to everybody I can tell to, we've been living in a culture for generations has been divorcing itself from God. We've been living in a society where the leadership has been telling us and brainwashing children since they're in elementary school that evolution is the way to go. There is no God. There is no creation. That same structure is now rolling out a supernatural disclosure where they're telling people these are NHIs, non-human intelligence. They're here, but they're not really here. And they're trying to mold people into this understanding of a supernatural existence, but they're doing it in a way that's going to steer people towards New Age, this new religion, and not towards Christianity, towards God. And so right now, we're all the people that are here are uniquely qualified to be living in this time to stand the gap. And that's what's happening right now. There are people out there who have had very real, tangible experiences, and their perception of it has been skewed for many different reasons. And there are ancient Egyptian gods and goddesses that are returning through these situations.
Yes, absolutely.
And people are starting to preach their gospel to it.
Yeah, so Jonathan Cahn, who is one of the most credible people in the world, you know, he came out with his book, you know, The Return of the Gods.
Yes.
These little G gods that was created by God Almighty, right? All these little G gods, but they're, you know, God Almighty has a heavenly family and he has an earthly family. And there has been incursions in both of those, multiple incursions in both of those realms. And these are the days that they're returning. I mean, if you look at the book of Revelation, man, I mean, an army comes up out of the earth.
Yes.
And it is literally like an orc army.
Yes. Yes.
And it's like, wow. And it is, yeah.
Sharpen your swords, friends.
Yeah, get ready.
It's because game time.
This is the new norm.
Yeah.
Tony Merkel, how do people find your stuff? And I can't wait for people to start going, And they're going to go there. How do they do that?
So there's many different things that I'm involved in. The main gig is the Confessionals podcast. And they can find it on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, anywhere. But also we have MerkelFilms.com, where I have a streaming service where we distribute different independent creators' content. And we're just doing a lot of different things. And, you know, I'm excited to see what God's doing in my life. There might be a book coming around the corner. So I never thought I'd say that. People told me for years I should write a book. I'm like, I'm not writing a book. I'm a podcaster. Well, God has other plans, I think. So we'll see how things go.
Will you please zoom in and do a show with me soon? Will you do that?
Absolutely.
I know I'm coming out to your place. Yeah. And where is your place?
Knoxville.
Yeah. So Knoxville, Tennessee. I know I'm coming out.
Yeah.
And we're going to make it. It's going to be amazing. But I want to do a show with you. I want to talk. There's some things I want to talk to you about that I weren't able to get to today.
Yeah.
Gosh, Tony Merkel, what a privilege, man.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for loving Jesus the way you do in this and still being involved in this whole realm. That's a big deal to me. The next person we're about to have up, she's very involved in the whole political thing. And, dude, she looks and smells like Jesus. Amen. And for you to be in this realm and to look and to smell like Jesus is a big deal, brother. Way to go, man.
It's very humbling. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Well, friends, I'm about to go to a Not On Our Watch campaign video. This has been my good friend, Tony Merkel. And, guys, whenever I come back, my friend, Sharon Bolin, is going to tell us about what's going on in D.C. Watch this.
Human trafficking. It's a $150 billion industry worldwide. And you want to know what drives this $150 billion a year industry? Pornography. It's pornography that creates this demand for men and for women and for little children to be sexually exploited to fill that terrible demand. It's pornography that has taken the world hostage. And guess what? It's the United States of America that is the biggest buyer of child pornography on the entire planet. This means that the pedophilia epidemic right here in the U.S. fuels human trafficking across the whole globe. If you're watching pornography, you're either watching a crime scene or you're funding one. As a nation, we are being desensitized, and it's happening right before our eyes. I can tell you one thing, not on our watch. At Troy Brewer Ministries, we've been spending the past 30 years rescuing over 11,000 children from human trafficking all over the planet Earth, with over 4,000 children under our care at this very moment. When you partner with us, you're not just touching that child's life within that very moment, but in fact, you're making a lifelong impact as we not only rescue them, we also clothe them, we feed them, we house them, we get them the medical treatment that they so need. And then we ensure that they have a proper education and a beautiful home all the way through college if need be. Duty is when you accept your assignment, no matter the cost. And it is the assignment of the body of Christ to be his hands and to be his feet in the midst of a broken world. Friends, if we do not show up, there's nobody else that's coming. It's time for you and I to step up. You can give online by going to odx.tv, or you can call the number that is here upon your screen. Please pray about partnering with us as we say to this demonic agenda facing our world, you can't have our kids, not on our watch.
Well, welcome back, my friends. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's the NRB in Big Time Grapevine, Texas. Wowzers. So we just got through with four interviews back to back to back to back to back. If you've recently just plugged into us live, go back after this is over with. Go back and watch them. And so I have Tony Merkel, just got through with him, Rick Renner just a few minutes ago, Alan DiDio, and my good friend Pastor Ben Hughes as well. And I'm about to introduce you to another good friend of mine that I have known for literally decades. And wait till you hear this story. In the meantime, as our call to action is, we're trying to rescue more kids than we ever have. And the only reason we are taking care of 4,000 children right now and not 40,000 children right now is the partnership that it takes to do that. Will you please consider helping us? Go and call the number at 877-413-0888. Years ago, there was a radio show that was called The Change. Right? Wasn't it called The Change?
Yep.
It was called The Change. It was called The Change. And I want to just tell you, I would listen to that show. I knew that show. It was on Sundays, I believe, if I'm thinking correct. Was it on Sundays?
Yes.
I think it was on
Sunday
Sundays.
Afternoon.
It was on Sunday afternoon. And I listened to it all the time, Sharon. And then I came across you somehow, some way. I don't even remember how. And you invited me to be on your radio show. And I thought, if I don't ever accomplish anything else in life, this is like the big mamba jamba to me. And it literally was the first show anybody ever invited me to be on was your radio show.
Wow.
And here we are today.
And look at you. You're Mr. Big Time today.
Oh,
right?
Mr. Big Time. Yeah, look at me. Yeah, well, I bless you. And you know what, man? I don't know that I've ever publicly told you what a big deal that was to me. And that was a long time ago.
Well, listen, when I first had my crusade, remember at the ballpark, Texas Rangers ballpark?
Yes.
You came and brought a truck and unloaded and fed all these people. I didn't even know who you were, how you heard about it. But that's how I first heard of you. I didn't meet you that night. I don't think I met you until you came to the radio program. But that was awesome of you when you, I think you were just in the early stages of your ministry as well.
I was. Do you remember what year that was?
97.
Was it 97?
Long time ago.
Yeah, right on. So we opened up the church in 95. We started the food bank in 90, and we opened up the church in 95, and that was in 97. Wow.
Yeah. So, well, here we are. We've been together for a long time.
If anybody has ever heard me talk about, I used to have this friend, and she would clean up her whole entire house, and she'd get all dolled up, and she'd seek the Lord. This is Sharon. That always made a profound impact on me. How you, when you get consecrated, when you fast and when you pray, and how serious you are about that, that has been a huge catalyst in my own life, watching you do that throughout the years.
Yeah. Well, I think that just knowing that you're going to give your best, if you had a guest coming to your house that you really honored, imagine what giving our best to the Lord. And so before, especially those of us in ministry, before we prepare, we need to get our physical temples cleaned and our homes and our bodies.
Amen.
But just to consecrate and get alone with the Lord and have everything out of the way. And I like to clean up everything and then just really spend hours in his presence, days in his presence, until he gives me that word. And it's important because I feel like we're so pulled in every direction, especially in ministry, and you know more of that than anyone.
Oh.
We have to cultivate that time with the Lord and spend alone time so that we can hear what is the Spirit saying to us in this hour.
Mm.
Hearing the voice of God means we have to stop hearing ours and all the other voices. So that's something that I've learned throughout my years of ministry, and I know you have as well. You wouldn't have been able to write the books that you have unless you've heard from the Lord. And, you know, my father was also a man of the word.
I loved your daddy so much, man. Your daddy was something else.
Yeah.
What a word of God guy.
He was. And to think about a Hindu boy at 11 years old contemplating reincarnation
and having a track printed in the United States slid in, you know, under the door into his home. He reads it when he comes back from school, and he doesn't know anything about Jesus or heaven, but ends up going to a Protestant church instead of the Hindu temple just to find out who this God was. He comes back in his room, and he says, Jesus, if you're the real God, show me. And that was his conversion. Just in that bedroom, asking the Lord from a tract printed in the United States of America. So to know that that's how my dad began his walk with God, and then to bring my family legally to America, to emphasize legally, and to see him love God and country, and to raise me and our family to love God and country, so, so important. And when you come to America and you go through the system of really becoming a citizen, a naturalized citizen, you fall in love with the country.
Yes.
It's different than just hopping over the border.
Yes.
You know, when you come here legally and you see the blood, sweat, and tears that were paid for this land, and you fall in love with our founding fathers and what has happened here in America, why we are the land of the free and the home of the brave. So just to be raised with that really has put a burden on my heart even to further the gospel to our nation, because our nation needs the Lord now more than ever.
And you're doing it, Sharon. You're doing it. So let's talk about what you're doing and how you're doing it. I know that you can't let me forget about your TV commercial campaign that
yes.
you've been doing that is so effective. But you're one of the counselors of President Trump. What is that group of people called?
Faith leaders. So I'm just one of the faith leaders.
You're one of the faith leaders.
Not in the forefront, more in the back. But what we're doing right now is we started launched a ministry called Let's Pray USA. It's a commercial that we've aired on Fox News and Network and also Newsmax. And we basically, before the elections, 6 months before, teaching people how to pray for America and pray for the elections. And it's 60 seconds of prayer. That's all it is. But I hand wrote 60 prayers. And we pinpointed just every part of America that you can pray for, and teaching people, because a lot of people say they're conservative Christians, but they don't know how to pray. So just giving them a manual of how to start praying for your nation, bringing in the scriptures that have to do with a country and how God wants to save a nation, righteousness coming back to a country. That's so important. And then going to the different parts of the government and pulling in as well those different parts and showing you how do you pray for your judges? How do you pray for your educators? How do you pray for your president? So I feel like those prayers have really been answered. We've got a great president and a great cabinet. And
best ever.
Praying him all the way through.
That cabinet that is something else. This morning I was watching the news before we came here. And they were showing the whole cabinet, you know, lined up. And I was like, we'll just stop. I wanted to stop. I wanted to pause it. And I wanted to pray over that cabinet.
Yeah.
So how can we pray? How do you think? And what do you think is the most urgent thing to pray about right now?
I think right now we have to pray for our nation. We're in such a season of change in America from the last 4 years. It's going to take a little time, but the tide is turning. And I think people are more aware of God now than ever, because we prayed so hard for President Trump and for this election. But I do feel we can't just sit back and think, oh, everything's going to be good now. We have to pray for President Trump's protection, pray that he has the right leaders around him, pray that he has the right people that are honorable and loyal. Loyalty is very important, because we have so many that aren't loyal. And pray that those who are around him have a heart for the nation, that want to see America succeed, want to see America prosper, and really care about the people. That's one thing I love about President Trump, is that he cares about the people, and he does everything he can to keep his word to the American people. And we need that, because I feel like we've lost hope in our government, especially after the last 4 years. So I think this is a wonderful way for the tide to turn, but also for us in the ministry to begin to proclaim the gospel to our own nation. You know, we've gone to other nations, but America needs an awakening.
Yes.
We need a spiritual awakening. I was talking to my daughter the other day, and I thought about this. You know, where's healing in the church? Like, where are miracles anymore? Yeah. Why is it motivational 30-minute messages? We need to come back to the good old-fashioned gospel, preach the cross, death to self, healing, miracles. That has not stopped. Just because our culture is changing, God's word doesn't. He stays the same, and we need to go back to that.
I had Alan DeNeo that was just here. One of the big things that has happened recently is I was out there just a few weeks ago, and we got all this documented. And there was a girl that God just told me, hey, you know, in the midst of everybody just passionately worshiping Jesus. And I mean, just going after the Holy Spirit and just crying out to God, and the zeal of the Lord is in the house. I just tell this girl, I said, you know what? I said, the Lord has given you a brand new joy, and it's a joy that you can share with anybody. It's a joy you can share with everybody. And boom, her ear opened up. She was completely deaf in her ear, and she had even tried to get a cochlea implant, and that didn't work because she was missing. There was something wrong, and it completely opened up her ear. And I didn't even know that God was doing that. I wasn't even speaking a word of healing on her. God just told me to speak a word of joy, and then boom, this amazing healing. And then once the one miracle happened, then it was Katie bar the door.
Wow. Powerful. Well, I want to share something with you quickly if I can. I was in prayer the other day, and the Lord gave me a word, and I was just weeping, you know, as the presence of the Lord just came upon me. And he took me back to 1 Samuel 30 at Ziklag, a story we're all familiar with. And, you know, David had come back from 3 days of battle to find his camp was burned. The women were gone. The children were gone. And it was so devastating that the Bible says that his men, they wept till they couldn't weep anymore, right? And then they wanted to turn on him. But what did David do? He inquired himself, right? He inquired of the Lord, and he went to Abiathar the priest. You always have to have a priest who can touch God. That's very important. And the Lord said, the Lord said to him, he gave him his marching orders because he didn't know what to do. He didn't even know if they were alive. And the Lord said, I want you to pursue. You're going to recover all, but you got to pursue. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, he took me to Joel 2:25, and he said, you know, for the years that the locust and the cankerworm and the palmerworm and the caterpillar have stolen, right, I'm going to repay. So it goes really together with 1 Samuel 30, God saying, I am going to restore, but you're going to recover all. How are you going to recover? You've got to pursue the enemy. We just can't sit back and wait for God to do something. Yeah. We've got to go after what has been stolen. What's been stolen from the body of Christ? Joy, peace, healing, right? Think about a sound mind, all the mental illness, the anxiety, the fear, the depression the people of God are going through. All of these things have been stolen from us, and the Lord is saying, I want you to pursue what the enemy has stolen, and you're going to recover all. All means not 90%. That means everything. That's and great. I say with interest. So I am believing that this is a year of an abundance. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain.
Amen.
And God is going to restore all that has been lost, but we've got to pursue.
Oh, let it be. Let it be in Jesus' name. Friends, I'm talking to my good friend, Miss Sharon Bolin. And Sharon, how do people find your stuff? How do they get plugged into all this? And what are they going to get plugged into?
Well, they're going to get the Word of God.
Amen.
We're going to teach you how to pray and be a mighty man or woman of faith and prayer.
Amen.
Our website, SharonBolin.com. I also have a YouTube channel. And then we have a big Good Friday service live right here in Dallas. We hold every year. So I'd like
Where's
to invite
everybody.
Sheraton DFW.
Sheraton
it's all
DFW.
Up on our website. And it's going to be April 18th. And we hold that every year. And we have a lot of miracles that happen at that service. So I'd invite people to come. But I think all of us have a gifting. I think this is a time for the body of Christ to come into alignment with what God has called them to do. And when we get into alignment and get in our position, then we become that mighty army that is unstoppable.
Hey, before we've got about 4 minutes left here. We got to pray for everybody.
Yeah.
We got to pray. There's people literally watching all over the planet Earth. I mean, there's many, many, many nations watching right now. So I'll tell you what, I just want to turn it over to you. There's a camera right here.
Right.
Yeah, you can talk into this camera right here. And you just knock yourself out.
All right. Well, listen, we want to thank you for watching today and just want you to know that whatever you're going through, whatever you've been through, that the Lord is speaking to you today. It's time to pursue because you're going to recover all. Whatever has been stolen, maybe it's your peace, your joy, your family, your children, your health. This is a time for restoration. We're in a new season, and God is doing a new thing. The Lord says to forget the things that are behind and the former things, because now I'm going to do a new thing. It's going to spring forth now. And this is a new year, and I want you to have an expectation. You know, this is a year on the Hebraic calendar, 5785. And this year links with the word, suddenly, behold, breath of God. Think about that. We are going to go through some suddenly moments. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit came in Acts 2. Suddenly, they were filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to move this year suddenly, unprecedented, without warning. You just got to get in your position, and he's going to do a new thing in you. So let's pray. Blessed Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you right now. We thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Thank you for Pastor Troy in this ministry. I pray, God, that you would continue to expand this territory. Let the tent pegs be expanded.
Yes.
We pray, oh God, that you will do a new thing even in this ministry, Lord, that you will move past the limitations and the barriers, and let this be a year of breaking out and breaking forth. I pray for everyone that's watching that needs a healing, that needs to be set free, that the glory of God would visit them right now, that the Spirit's power would just come upon their lives. Break forth, oh God, break forth in power, in health, in strength, in hope. I thank you, oh Lord, that everyone that's been suffering will get a breakthrough today, will feel the presence of the Lord, and you will change the atmosphere of their homes. We thank you and praise you that we look into anticipation that this is a year of an abundance. This is the year that we will recover all, because this is the year of suddenlies. We love you, praise you, and thank you for who you are in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Friends, this is my good friend, Sharon Bolin. And yeah, she's a prayer warrior girl, I promise you. How do people find you, Sharon?
SharonBolin.com is the easiest way.
SharonBolin.com. And where are you going to be at on the 18th of April?
We'll have our annual Good Friday service right here in Dallas.
You've been doing that for a long time, haven't you?
A long time.
Yeah.
We did some at your church.
Yeah,
remember
you did.
The past?
And I promise you, guys, I promise you, she is an awesome preacher. She's no joke. And, dude, she knows the word. My goodness, guys, if I want to encourage you guys to come out to her Good Friday service. Again, you can find more information at SharonBolin.com. Sharon, what a great privilege
great
it is to have you with
Thank
us.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming all the way over
Anytime.
Here. And God bless your ministry in Washington, D.C. and what you're doing.
Thank you.
And may the Lord just continue to bless you.
Amen.
Thank you. Guys, listen, I'm about ready to wrap all this up. And as I get ready to wrap this up, I want to tell you, it's been awesome having you guys with me today. Thank you all for joining me. We've done somewhere around 30 interviews between yesterday and today. And I don't know, it's all kind of a blur. And you know what? We will be collecting as many of those as we possibly can, the ones that I did, meaning those that interviewed me. And we'll be collecting all of those at odx.tv, including all of these videos. If you are already a big part of ODX, then you know the drill. If you're not, if you go to odx.tv, you'll find out. Guys, these will be on there for free. Now, guys, our call to action is to say we have rescued over 11,000 children, and we're going to rescue a whole lot more. You can partner with me by standing with me. How do you do that? Guys, watch this.
Every year, 8 million children simply disappear. Not trafficked or enslaved, they vanish without a trace. For 30 years, Troy Brewer Ministries has been fighting back, rescuing over 11,000 children from the horrors of human trafficking and offering them a future.
Not on our watch. We are the answer. And friends, we've been doing this now for 30 years. This is a calling of King Jesus to stand up against evil with the goodness of God. And friends, if we do not show up, I don't think that anybody else is coming. Now, with 51 children's homes in places like Mexico and Uganda and Brazil and Nepal and even beyond, friends, we don't just rescue children, we actually raise them. Right now, 4,000 children are within our care, receiving love, safety, and the hope that they do deserve.
Join the fight. Call the number on your screen or go online. Together, we're saying not on our watch.